Amen. All right, today we're continuing our sermon series, Truth and Love Together. Now, we've had three sermons on this already, and I'm just going to briefly sum those up. Week one, we talked about truth, how truth in our culture has begun to become something that's a little bit subjective. But real truth comes only from the one who wrote it at the foundations of creation. It's God's absolute truth. Week two, we talked about love. And how real love, God's love, is centered in Jesus Christ. And it's not just simply saying, I affirm you in whatever you believe or do or say, but rather pointing people to God's better way. Love is loving as God loves us. And week three, we talked about when truth and love come together, we find ourselves committed to justice, but not just justice in any definition, but biblical justice, God's justice. Now, this week, we're talking about truth and love coming together again, and we're talking about the saltiness of truth and love together. So that word, saltiness, is going to be in the center of our meditation today. And we're going to use a fairly well-known piece of scripture, just one verse to meditate on today, and it's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, I said well-known. Most of us have heard it many times. But I didn't say well-understood. This is a tough verse to fully grasp. I'll be honest, I'm still working on it. God's still working in my heart to help me better understand what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, it is no good for anything." So today we're going to really meditate on what did Jesus mean when he said to his disciples and to us today, you are the salt of the earth. And there's three questions we're going to be trying to answer. And they're these. Number one, what is Jesus saying here about our world? Okay, what is Jesus saying about the world? Number two, what is Jesus saying about us? And number three, what is Jesus saying about our relationship to the world? Okay, what's he mean by you are the salt of the earth in these contexts? About the world, about us, and about our relationship to the world. Now, the first thing is first, we do need to talk about salt. Because Jesus is using an analogy here. And he's comparing us to salt. So we first need to think about what does salt do? What's its purpose? What might Jesus mean by this? And I think the first thing we need to understand about salt is it's useful. Okay, it's got a wide variety of uses, and it has throughout history. There was a time where salt was quite valuable, a time when we weren't as good at finding it as we are now, but the uses were still the same, maybe even more prevalent because we hadn't come up with other ones. And salt was used as currency. Did you know the word salary comes from the Latin word for salt? Because Roman soldiers used to be paid at a certain time in salt. So there is a time, especially in Jesus' day, where salt had incredible value. But the reason why it was valuable is what I think is important for us to think about today. Salt was valuable because it's useful, necessary. And there's three great uses of salt that are present today, but especially were present in Jesus' day, and they're as follows. Salt, number one, it preserves. Okay, salt has always been used as a way to preserve foods from spoiling. All right, it still is one of our best preservatives for food, certainly our most natural. Secondly, salt it cleanses. You guys know salt has cleansing abilities. In Jesus' day, battlefield wounds would be treated with salt, a way of killing some of the bacteria in there, a way of cleansing that wound. But even today, you've probably been told when you have a sore throat to gargle with salt water. It kills some of the bacteria that is present causing that sore throat and keeps it from getting worse. Okay, salt preserves, salt cleanses, and the one we're most familiar with today, salt seasons. All right, I would challenge you to eat a French fry or a potato chip without salt on it. If you could even find such a thing. We like the flavor of salt. So many things, you know, chips, sunflower seeds, we don't even like the flavor of them. We like the flavor of the salt on them. Salt seasons, okay? Salt is valuable because it's useful, and it's useful in three predominant ways that we're going to think about today. It preserves, it cleanses, and it seasons. And I think these are going to be really helpful in us understanding what Jesus might have been getting at when he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now let's answer that first question. What is Jesus saying about our world when he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste?" I think what Jesus is basically saying here is, our world needs salt. Okay, and while that's literally true, because we would die without salt in our systems, there's so many bodily functions that salt is necessary for, Jesus isn't speaking literally, he's speaking figuratively and saying the world needs to be preserved, cleansed, and seasoned. With what, we might ask? Well, it's our sermon series topic. The world needs to be preserved, cleansed, and seasoned with God's truth and God's love. Because without God's truth and love, the parts of the world that have that absent from it, well, it's decaying, it's rotting from sin, truth is absent, and people live lives without seasoning. And what I mean by that is, so many people live their lives without real purpose or meaning, without anything flavoring what they do, without anything giving them reason to go on. It's kind of an everyday walk with no real purpose. This is the state of our world. That's what Jesus is saying, that our world is in need of salt. Salt to preserve truth, salt to cleanse from sin, and salt to season the ordinary with purpose. And the rest of God's word backs us up pretty well. Jeremiah says that the heart of man is desperately sick. Philippians chapter 2 says, we live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Pastor Kevin, over the last 3 weeks, gave us plenty of evidence for these things still being true. We know it from our own experience that our world, in a lot of ways, is decaying. That sin has a grip on so many people's lives, that truth is absent from a lot of people's lives, and so many people live with kind of an existential outlook on life, that what's the reason for me doing this? What's the purpose? What am I aiming for in the end? Now, I do need to point out, this is not a new problem, okay? We've got some challenges right now that we didn't have 20 years ago, but this need for salt has always been a problem in our world. It's why Jeremiah spoke about it 3,000 years ago, and Paul spoke about it 2,000 years ago, and Pastor Kevin spoke about it last week. The same truth is still there. Our world is in need of salt, of preservation, of cleansing, of seasoning. Our world is in need of God's truth and God's love. Jesus' words here make that clear. God's word throughout the rest of the Bible makes that clear, and our own experience also makes that clear. Our world needs something. Okay? That's question number one, what Jesus is saying about our world. It needs salt. It needs God's truth and love. Question two, what is Jesus saying about us? Well, when thinking about this, I want us to notice who Jesus is talking to. Okay, this is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. It's a Sermon on the Mount. So who might have been there? First of all, his disciples were there, and also a crowd of people who had come to listen to him. Now, we don't know the exact makeup of that group of people, but we know that most of them were not politicians. Most of them were not the elite of society. Many of them were not wealthy. Many of them were not movers and shakers in that society. Instead, what we know about many of them were fishermen, tax collectors, widows, so on and so forth. These people Jesus was speaking to when he said, "You are salt," they weren't the people who thought they had any influence over the world they lived in. And yet, Jesus still says to them, "You are the salt of the earth." And thinking about what salt was in that day, what Jesus is saying to them is, first of all, you're valuable. You have great value, but also you are useful to the world around you. You are the means by which the earth will be salted with my truth and my love. Now, one other thing I want us to notice here is the words "you are." It's not the words "you will become." It's not the words, I can help you get here. It's not the words, with some practice and maybe a purer heart and repentance, you will become salt, you will become valuable, you will become useful, but rather, you are. Now again, remember, this is early in Jesus' ministry. His disciples had not been following him long, and there were surely people there that day who had never heard him before, who are trusting and believing in him for the first time that very day, and he still says to them, you are the salt of the earth. This is so important for us to consider and meditate on. Jesus tells us we are salt, not by virtue of how influential we are, not by virtue of how faithful we are, not by virtue of all we've done and become, but just because of what he has called us to be. These people here listening to him that day, they are salt. They are valuable. They are useful simply because they are bearers of his truth and his love. And when Jesus says you are salt to us today, he says those things to us. That you're valuable, that you're useful, that you are necessary to the world around you because you are a bearer of the things he has to give. You're a bearer of his truth preserved throughout the ages. You're a bearer of his love. Love manifested most clearly by his death for us on the cross. A love that knows no limits. This is what Jesus is saying to us when he says you are the salt of the earth. He is saying to us, you're a value, great value. Value as one of the most valuable things in the world at that time. But also you are useful. You are useful to the world around you. You have purpose in preserving truth, in cleansing from sin, and in seasoning people's lives with meaning. And more than all of that, you are absolutely necessary to the world around you based on the fact that the world needs salt. So question number three. What is Jesus saying about our relationship to the world? We know our world is in need of salt. We know we are salt, and God is telling us we have a use, we have a purpose. So where do we go from here? Well, I think this is the challenging part of this verse. This is maybe the convicting part of this verse. Because I think what this verse begs of us most of all is be useful. Allow yourself to be used by God. You're already valuable. Jesus said you are when he called you his, when he gave you his love and his truth. And now he is saying to us, let yourself be a blessing to others. I think something that is so important for us as Christians to consider is that there is an unbreakable connection between blessing and calling. Let me say that one more time. There is an unbreakable connection between blessing and calling. We have been tremendously blessed. We've been blessed by Jesus Christ as recipients of his love and forgiveness, as bearers of his truth, by knowing the purpose and the meaning of life. These are great blessings for us, but with that great blessing comes a great responsibility, a holy calling to share these things with others, to salt the earth. And I think there's also a warning in this verse. And it's not a warning of condemnation, but it's a warning against uselessness. It's a warning against not being salty. It's a warning against not putting those blessings to work. And I think what this verse begs us to consider is why salt is useful, or what makes salt not useful. Because salt is only useful because it's different than the things it's applied to. Okay? If salt were the same as the things you're putting it on, what good would it be in preservation? If salt were not completely different than the meat you're trying to preserve, it would do nothing to prevent rot and decay from setting in. If salt were not different from the bacteria in the wound you're putting it in, how would it clean it from infection? It would just make it worse. If salt did not taste different than the food you put it on tonight, what would be the point of putting it on that food? Salt is only useful because it's so different than the things it is applied to. And Jesus makes it pretty clear. If salt loses its taste, if it loses its saltiness, it's no longer useful. No longer good for anything, and it's thrown out, trampled in the dirt. It's no different than the world we walk on. This verse begs us to be useful, but also to be different. And I've got a hard question for us to contemplate as Christians. It's pretty obvious in our country, the way we're moving, that the Christian church has begun to be trampled underfoot. That there are many people in our world who have decided that God's truth and love have no use in their lives. This is happening. We see it. It happens every single day. And I wonder if maybe we're a little bit to blame for that. I wonder if maybe we've lost our saltiness. If maybe the Christian church, especially in America, for so long has failed to look any different than the world around us, to be different, to taste different, to behave differently, and as such, maybe we have lost our usefulness. No longer preserving truth, no longer cleansing sin, no longer seasoning people's lives with purpose and meaning. The question is, have we lost our saltiness? Have we as Christians failed to salt the earth? Well, I've got two answers to those two different questions. The first one, have we failed to salt the earth? Yeah, we have. Not completely. I know God has worked through us, but many times, many days, many moments, many years even, we fail in parts of our life to look differently than the world around us. And sometimes we are not useful to the world around us when we do that. And for this, every day, we do what God tells us to. We repent and ask God to help me be different tomorrow. But that second question was, have we lost our saltiness? And to that I say, absolutely not. Because it is not us that produces the use in us. It is not us that produces our value. It is Jesus and his truth and love that he gives us, that he asks us to be stewards of. And you know what? We still have that truth and that love. It's still part of us. And as Jesus said to his disciples that day, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. Even you who have been sinners your whole life, even you who are just listening to me for the first day, you are salt. Not because you had perfect scores in evangelism or discipleship, not by virtue of being in the church for 60 years. You are salt because you trust me." First day believing or last day believing, we are still stewards and bearers of God's truth and love, not because of our talent or our pure hearts, but because of the God who created us and redeems us. So today and every day, the call for us is to be salt, to be exactly what God made us to be, useful to the world around us. So I guess we all need to ask ourselves a self-reflective question, and the question is, what makes my life different than the rest of the world? What about knowing God's truth? What about experiencing his love has made my life look and behave differently than the world around me? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. Because the truth is, we have been blessed. We've been blessed tremendously. We've been blessed to be hearers and believers of God's truth. And the reason we've been blessed in this way is ultimately because of God's love, but because God used people in our lives to salt our path. Okay, he used others who went before us to salt the earth. Someone or many people before us allowed God to use them to preserve truth, to cleanse from sin, and to season people's lives with meaning. Now, that might have happened in different ways in your life. It might have been your parents. It might have been your grandparents. It might have been a friend or a seemingly random encounter. It might have been a healthy church body, but there were generations that went before them who were salt, who allowed God to work in their hearts to preserve truth, to cleanse from sin, to issue God's words of forgiveness, and to show people the meaning we have in Jesus Christ. And now we share in these blessings because others were salty before us. So the call for us today is, do the same for those who come after us. Let us do the same for our children. And not just our children, but all the children in our community, all the children in our church, all those who need to be brought up in a place where God's truth is preserved. Do the same for your neighbors. Do the same for your coworkers. Do the same for every person who God puts us into contact with. Be salt. I got to be honest. I don't want to live in a country where people have no use for God's truth and God's love. I don't want to live in a place where those things are trampled underfoot because they're no different than the world around them. I want to live among a people who preserve God's perfect truth. I want to live among a people who are willing to call their brother or sister back to God's way. Even if that means putting a little salt in a wound. Even if that means that calling back stings a little bit. We know it will be better in the long run. I want to live in a place where people know why they are living. Know why they get up in the morning. Know why they build relationships. Know why they worship and love. Because they have a greater purpose in Jesus Christ. A purpose to first know God's love and a purpose to share God's love. And all of this, it doesn't mean we have to do extraordinary things. At least not extraordinary things in the eyes of men, but extraordinary things in the eyes of God. Doing the ordinary, the everyday, the seemingly mundane, but doing it for a greater purpose. Doing it for His purpose. For the right reasons, with His truth molding our worldview. And the cleansing power of His forgiveness at every step. You see, Jesus says to each of us today, you are salt. You are valuable. You are useful. And you are necessary to the world around you. And we're the ones responsible for sharing this. We're the ones responsible for being stewards of God's truth, for showing His love to others. I've said already, there is an unbreakable connection between blessing and calling, and we have been blessed. We have been so blessed by our God, first of all, to be created by Him, that God decided it was fit to make one of you. And then when we strayed from Him, when we broke the connection, our God wanted us back. He wanted to provide a way back to Him, and so He sent His Son to die for us, that we may have life by believing in His name, that we may have purpose. And not only did God do this, but He saw fit to make sure we knew about it, to make sure we had that truth and had that love. And He used the saltiness of so many people who went before us to break through in our lives that we could know it today. Generations before us who were salt because God made them to be salt. Today, Jesus once again says to us, you are salt. You are valuable, you are useful, and you are completely necessary to the world around you. So be salt. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.